"This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And then they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." In the name of Jesus, amen. As Holy Week draws closer to us, the reality of Christ's inevitable crucifixion becomes clearer and clearer in our readings. The parable that we've heard today from Luke's Gospel reminds us that Christ knows his fate in Jerusalem. He knows where his Father is sending him. And this teaching reveals how the rejection of the Son of God was necessary in order for all nations to receive his inheritance, the inheritance of eternal life, rather than the coming wrath of the one who sent him. The parable we heard today speaks of a vineyard owner, who is, of course, God the Father. And the vineyard itself is symbolic of the nation of Israel, as evidenced in the writings of the Old Testament prophets. All the way back in Isaiah 5, the Song of the Vineyard described a fertile hillside that after much care and effort is made useful for yielding grapes. But despite the efforts of the one who purchased this land, the vineyard ends up producing only bad fruit. Isaiah had long ago revealed, "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress." It's partially because of this passage in Isaiah that we can determine the significance of Jesus' parable here in Luke 20. The chief priests and the scribes would have known most likely exactly where Jesus was going with this teaching. They knew for a fact that he was preaching against him, and they probably knew that this parable was a warning of some kind. And indeed, it was a warning to all who saw Jesus as a threat to their worldly lives and prosperity, to their worldly sinful comforts. But in fact, Jesus' warning is extended beyond just the Pharisees. It's extended to anyone who would reject the one whom the Father sends. And that includes you and me. This parable continues to stand as a warning, because those who reject the Son will be destroyed by this Lord of the vineyard and will inherit nothing but his wrath. And this reminds that this is not only for the self-righteous religious elite of Jerusalem, and not reminding just them of their errors, but reminding every single one of us where it is that sin has led the world. And it's led the world to despise God and his word and those who carry this word. And just as the Pharisees proved that they would rather cling to their worldly positions of authority, we too are fighting God in his call to repentance in order to remain secure in those sins that we like to commit. God the Father, who's the owner of the vineyard, will destroy those who reject his Son's call to repentance. Therefore, this parable extends infinitely beyond its original audience. But there's much more to this teaching than a simple warning from God the Father. It's necessary for us to learn from this parable and to recognize that sin leads all people to reject God, to produce this rotten fruit of faithlessness. But unlike these Pharisees, we as Christians have to continually be ready to repent. Those who remain in their sin will face the crushing wrath of the Father, the Lord of the vineyard. But those who are broken by Christ's call to repentance can be raised to an eternal perfection. And this is what St. Paul was talking about today in this epistle reading to the Philippian congregation. That when Jesus comes to bring eternal life to all of humanity, despite his knowing that he would be rejected by the tenants of his father's vineyard, and this, of course, being Jerusalem, the temple, and all of Israel. That rejection should be expected also by the people who carry their Lord's message, like the servants in this parable. And that's what the life of repentance and faith grown from God's word teaches us to do. It teaches us to carry and to care for God's word, the message he has given us through the heir, his son, the Christ. And Christ is calling to those who hear his words and therefore are called to reject the things of this world, to reject the rubbish of this world that sin is driving us to treasure. That's why St. Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." It's that righteousness from God that depends on faith. This is the righteousness that the world hates. We, like the Pharisees, are going to be easily drawn into the things of the world as we all, in some way or another, seek to find comfort and security apart from the Word of God. The Pharisees, they don't understand what it is that Jesus is calling them to do. The chief priests and the scribes work in the Lord's vineyard, yet they produce nothing but bad fruit. They rejected the prophets of God, who in this parable, as we said, were obviously the servants sent to the workers, beaten and cast out of the vineyard. And we know the fates of many of God's faithful servants, these prophets of old, who themselves were led like lambs to the slaughter, many of whom were killed. And these were the ones who were entrusted with the work of their master and produced fruits of faith. These people who rejected the prophets will reject the Son, and they will be crushed by the weight of God's judgment. But as those who've been called and commissioned by the Lord to make disciples of all nations, we learn from this parable something else, that rejection is certainly something that we can expect to face on account of Christ. Yet this isn't something that we should fear. The scriptures predicted that the Christ would be condemned for his righteousness, even by those who knew that he was the chosen one of God. The scriptures predicted how the prophets who came seeking the fruits of repentance and faith in the Lord's vineyard would be beaten and cast out by the people. Yet Christ is showing us that this rejection is necessary, as he states, "The stone that the builders have rejected has become the cornerstone. You who have faith that stands on this rock of Christ will face rejection and brokenness of some kind. And especially at the hands of this world, you will be like the old prophets in one way or another. Hopefully not to the extent that they experience. However, you never know." But we have to remember what St. Paul taught us in his letter to the Romans in Romans chapter 15, where he says, "The reproaches of those who reproached you fell upon me." Christ received this ultimate rejection for the sake of those who would be rejected by this world on account of him, the master, the heir, the one who sent them. So we can let this embolden us as we press on towards what St. Paul says is the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And this prize, of course, is the resurrection into eternal glory and life with God forever in heaven. And as Christians living in this era of the church, we are certainly in the place of those old prophets, the old servants who suffered at the hands of an unbelieving, faithless world. But Christ remains with his people, and today he remains with his church, and he knows the suffering that we face. But despite whatever suffering we face in this life, we don't seek an end to it by finding comfort elsewhere in this world, apart from the Word of God. But through baptism, we are dead to the world. We are alive in Christ. And we know that our sufferings in this age are not without purpose. Our epistle reading reminded us also why we should gladly press on with the gospel of Christ's death and resurrection, always ready on our lips. As St. Paul states, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So our Lord's rejection was necessary in order to gain for all people that opportunity of eternal life following the resurrection from the dead. And Christ's rejection made him the cornerstone, the literal rock of our salvation on which we build our faith. This rock crushes all who will reject the Son, the heir of the vineyard. But the law of God proclaimed by Christ in his righteousness shatters those who repent so that they too can have faith in the Lord's pardon and find forgiveness that attains this inheritance of the resurrection from the dead. Those who are shattered by the law of God and restored by the gospel of Christ will be raised to a perfection and will enjoy unending glory in the presence of the Lord. And it's for this reason that we don't have to be burdened by the words and message of this parable. Instead, we find comfort in Jesus' words because we understand what he means when he says, "Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." We will be shattered by the law of God in order to be raised up through the gospel as living stones in Christ, the true temple of God. And all the way back at the beginning of Luke, this is why Simeon proclaimed, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign spoken against." In the end, all God wants from us in order to have this wonderful inheritance is faith in the Son whom he sends into the vineyard. It is he who conquered death by dying and being raised from the dead, defeating the grave forever. This is why our entire church year circulates around Christ's passion, his death, and his resurrection, with every Sunday being a mini Easter on its own. The Word of God in the Holy Scriptures prepares us again and again to find the good news in Christ's suffering and death that we celebrate every single Sunday. Because we constantly have to be reminded about the truth of the gospel. We forget it all the time. We reject it like everyone else. It's easy to forget that we must constantly be broken, and we must constantly be realigned with God's word and will through repentance. We constantly forget that our place in the Christian church is in faith, that we trust God through and read his word. We receive his sacraments. We're diligent to hear and receive those things. If our lives are not centered on repentance and diligence in hearing God's word, our enemy is not going to have a hard time removing the benefits of the gospel from us entirely. Luther once stated, "It is therefore extremely necessary that we come to know this doctrine, the gospel, that we know it well and constantly instill it in ourselves through persistent instruction." We certainly have a duty as Christians to study and to hear God's word, both in church and also at home. As those in communion with the Holy Spirit, we have a responsibility to encourage and strengthen each other and to find strength for ourselves in this proclamation of Christ, if we ourselves are to endure any type of rejection at the hands of this world. That's why it's important in our vocations that we carry the Word of God even there, where we have been made servants of the Lord, where we can encourage our neighbor to yield the fruits of repentance and faith in the Word of God. And fathers, you especially have an obligation to teach your children to teach them to reject the rubbish of this world, to teach them what it means to be a lamb led to the slaughter. As the spiritual head of the household, you should be reading the Bible to your children, ideally every day. As fathers, you are officially the shepherds of your own family. Take this responsibility seriously. And mothers, you are equally important in this job. And that's why in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20, it says, "My son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teaching." God intends that the entire family life be centered on the Word of God. It's the only way that we can retain our faith, that we can fight the attacks of the devil. And it's the only way we can learn not to reject Christ. The only way we can learn not to reject He who the Master has sent. So no matter our age, our status, or our place in authority, we are responsible for bearing the good fruits of repentance and faith. So friends, these are also the reasons why the world is going to reject you. Plain and simple, the world will not appreciate your faith. They are not going to appreciate your call for their need of repentance. Yet, we, as servants of our Lord, are still called into His vineyard to seek out these fruits, regardless of the worldly tenant's reaction to our Lord's call. We strain forward regardless of their reaction, knowing that the Son has suffered rejection well beyond our own, and that our Lord's rejection has won for us an inheritance that we would have never received otherwise. This is how Jesus' parable is preparing us for Holy Week. Christ, being subjected to the ultimate rejection of death on the cross, where He has burdened Himself by receiving our suffering and giving to us His inheritance of eternal life in return. So as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, the scribes, the chief priests, they were already plotting against Him. The parable of the workers in the vineyard was spoken certainly against the leaders of Israel's religious establishment, and in fact to anyone who sees Jesus as a threat to their sinful lifestyle, to their worldly comforts. But friends, in this teaching, Jesus is warning anyone who rejects Him of the wrath of His Father. He's calling them in love, in repentance, and faith to find these things that offer a way out of the coming judgment. So in conclusion, despite giving this warning to those who reject Him, Christ reveals that His rejection is necessary for the salvation of the world. This salvation is the inheritance that He freely gives to any who fear the wrath of His Father, who fear the wrath of God and know that they are unfruitful, that the fruits of faith have been lacking in them. And it's because of God's great mercy that we've been called to repentance, that we've been given faith to hold fast to that prize, the goal of the prize of everlasting life and the resurrection through His mercy and forgiveness. May God continue to grant us the fruits of His Holy Spirit in repentance and faith. In the name of Jesus, Amen.